Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once again to Food for the Journey. Today, we celebrate the feast of Saints Andrew Kim and Paul Chung and a number of his companions. The Korean Church, Magnificat magazine tells us, the Korean Church arose in the late 18th century after Korean diplomats heard Christ preached by the Jesuits in China and brought Christian tracts home to share with their families and neighbors. Persecutions began when the Korean authorities attacked the fledgling Christian community for introducing, quote, foreign influences into the country, end of quote. Among the saints honored on this feast are 11 priests and 92 laypersons. These martyrs were scholars, court officials, farmers, merchants, widows, and wives. Each had found the pearl of great price and gave his or her life for it. They represent the countless others who met death rather than renounce their faith during 100 years of persecution. 100 years of persecution. How deep is our faith? How strong are we in our faith, even in the midst of what the church is going through right now? Is my faith in Jesus Christ firm? I understand being very shaken. Ask God to increase your faith. We'll have much more to say about this later, but for the moment, look at these Korean martyrs. Look at their faith. They died for it. We haven't been tested the way many, many countries have. Right now, we're being tested because of the church itself. Brothers and sisters, lots more to say on this. A lot more. But for the moment, be on your knees, repent of your own sin, ask God to resolve the situation we face. Pray daily. And I will say much more about that. But for the moment, pray every day. Pray every day that we may get to the bottom of the difficulties we're facing, that we may face them squarely, that we may ask God's pardon and mercy. Pray. O God, who have been pleased to increase your adopted children in all the world and who made the blood of the martyrs, St. Andrew Kim and his companions, a most fruitful seed of Christians, grant that we may be defended by their help and profit always from their example. Let's draw on the saints and martyrs right now and ask them that the faith that they exhibited may become ours, that we may fight the work of the enemy in our midst, and that we may triumph because of the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. It all comes from God Himself. Let us enter into this time of trial in the church for the sake of those who will come after us. Let us fight the battle. Let us win it by God's grace and by God's power, that He may be honored and glorified. Much more on this to come. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, first letter, chapter 15, verses 1 to 11. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received and in which you also stand. Through it you are also being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I handed on to you as of first importance what I received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. After that, He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, this is Paul now, last of all, as to one born abnormally, He appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective. Indeed, I have toiled harder than all of them, not I, however, but the grace of God that is with me. Therefore, whether it be I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. He's speaking of the early heroes, really. They didn't have thousands of years to go on. What they had was faith, and it was a gift that God gave them, and it is a gift that God will give you and me now in our time of trial in the church. Faith. Ask God for greater faith. Ask God to give you what you need. He will not fail you. Again, much more to say on this in programs next week. Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. He is good. He's all goodness. He is goodness itself. Trust him. Trust him that he will see us through it, through the difficulties, whether they be difficulties in the church, difficulties in our own lives, in our families, wherever we have to face challenges, God is with us. God is with us. We're the ones who sin. We're the ones who fail. But he never deserts us. Will you notice that? All through the centuries, he's never deserted us. And he gave us his only son to die for us. Brothers and sisters, you could not be loved more. It's for you. It's not just for masses of people. It's for you. And for me, receive the love that God has for you and ask him in our challenging contemporary times. Ask him, help me, give me wisdom. Read the word daily. He will supply. And the gospel is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 36 to 50. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him. And he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at the table in the house of the Pharisee, bringing an alabaster flask of ointment. Now, this is the sinful woman. She brings an alabaster flask of ointment, and she stands behind him at his feet, weeping. And she began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. What a tender, intimate thing God allowed. For here comes this sinful woman. She was known as a sinful woman, but she bowed down before Jesus. What a common slave, the service a common slave, the lowest slave would render. This woman, this sinful woman, rendered to Jesus. She was finding real love for the first time. And she didn't let anything, all her critics, she didn't let anyone stop her from coming to Jesus. And when the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he'd know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. That would have been his tone of voice, contempt, utter contempt for her. And Jesus said to him in reply, Simon, I have something to say to you. Tell me, teacher, he said. Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more? And Simon said in reply, the one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And then he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet. But she, the greater sinner, understand what he's saying here, the greater sinner, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. She took the lowest position of service time and again. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Do you know I could cry about that right at this moment? Because what does God do? God looks at the heart. He sees, he understands. We only see the externals. He understands. And he knew there was true contrition here. He said, so I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven. Hence, she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. And he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the others at table said to themselves, who is this? Who is this who even forgives sins? But he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Do you see how essential faith is? Don't take it lightly. We haven't had to suffer the way other peoples in other countries have up to this time. We haven't had that level of suffering. How great is your faith? Look at that woman. She, in a sense, humiliated herself. She humbled herself, but she also humiliated. Everyone around knew she was the town prostitute. What was she doing here? And then you have the other man, the Pharisee, who looked at her with disgust. And what did Jesus do? He let her, in a sense, love him by serving him in the most menial of ways, washing his feet, wiping them with her hair. Do you see, brothers and sisters, what we're looking at here is true contrition on the one hand, and with the other, the arrogance and the pride. Was that Pharisee a sinner? Sure. He was a Pharisee. He obeyed the law. He did exactly what he was supposed to, so he held some kind of respect, so to speak, in the community. But his heart wasn't in the right place. His motives weren't in the right place. Now, he's battling it, but what happens to him? What happens to us, brothers and sisters, when our pride and our arrogance causes us to judge and to look down upon, to ignore, to speak against, to avoid? How many times have we done that in our lives? When a sinner confesses, when a sinner repents, that changes everything from God's perspective. Everything. And we don't know. We only see the exterior. So be very, very careful about judging another. Make sure that you are serving God for the right reasons. And make sure that you're praying for those who do not yet know him as you know him. May God give you wisdom and courage. God bless you. In these times in which we live, I want to make sure that you can access my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold. I want to encourage you, please, to get that booklet. You can have a free copy of it by calling 1-800-282-4789 or by going to our website, renewalministries.net, and just click on Bookstore. Please take the time to read it. May God bless you.